Unscripted.
What?
Unshackled. Uncouth.
Miguel, Holly, and Scotty are bringing you a new uncensored podcast daily to make sense of your quickly changing world.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Corncast Edition from Hot 101.5.
Made hot by Corona Beer.
Here we are on a Thursday, and I am feeling actually great today.
Oh, hey.
I think it's because of the zebra cake I had. Yeah, sorry, Scott. Scott's disappointed in me. I'm sorry, but I feel good.
That's okay.
Why are you disappointed, Scott?
I mean, you can't admit. Why not associate?
Why not what?
Nothing.
No, go ahead.
That's a weird thing to associate that you're feeling great because of zebra cake.
That's what makes me feel good.
But you just said yesterday you have a different thing. You have a different pleasure pain thing.
Yes, but it's like that. That's like a dangerous rabbit hole to go down.
Bro, it ain't a rabbit hole. I built the rabbit hole a long time ago.
Miguel,
I've been here.
Been in the trenches digging.
I just know sometimes when you need to go down the rabbit hole, and sometimes when you just cover it up and you're like, all right, I'm not going to go down there. Today is when we needed to pull the chute to make it happen.
Pull the chute.
I wanted to get someone on the phone that can speak on everything that's happening in nature. Like, have you seen some of those articles and pictures of, like, because of what's happening, the canals in Venice have cleared up.
Right.
The smog in Los Angeles is gone.
Yeah.
And, like, the world is almost, like, healing itself right now.
Yeah, and what was it in India? You can see the mountains. Like, you haven't been able to see the mountains before this. Huge.
So what I wanted to know is, like, locally here in Tampa Bay, how is it looking? Because I don't know why, but I'm just super fascinated by that. So we're going to get the Senior Public Information Coordinator for the City of Clearwater.
Oh.
On the phone.
Hello?
Hello, is this Jason?
Yes, it is. How's it going?
Hello, Jason. You're on with Miguel, Holly, and Scott. You are the Senior Public Information Coordinator for the City of Clearwater.
That is correct.
Wow.
Love those titles.
Title.
I love it.
It's a long title, isn't it?
Now, how are things going with the City of Clearwater with everything that's happening right now?
Well, we're doing pretty good. I mean, we got essential employees working and non-essential employees are mostly staying home. A lot of people are working at home, from home. The city's still up and running. I mean, of course, we've got some, recreation centers are closed, libraries are closed. Some parks are closed, but most of the parks remain open. The facilities at the parks are not open, but people can go to the park and enjoy being outside. Of course, you can't go to Clearwater Beach.
Yeah.
That's still closed, but, I mean, you can go out and walk around other parts of Clearwater Beach, but you just can't go on beach walk or the sand out there. So other than that, the city's doing pretty good.
Now, have you seen any improvements or have there been, I mean, it's only been, what, 3 or 4 weeks? There haven't been any studies or anything, but we keep seeing the articles about, you know, how the world is sort of healing itself without us walking all over it. Have you all seen or have you personally seen any difference on the Clearwater beaches?
Well, I personally, when I go out to the beach about 2 or 3 times a week to go out there and do some work, get some video for certain things, talk to the police officers out there and the lifeguards. But Clearwater Beach has always been a beautiful beach, but more than ever, it's more beautiful than ever. We've always raked the sand every day, but it just seems like the sand's cleaner, the water's cleaner. One thing you don't see much of anymore, which could be a good thing for most of us who live here in Florida, is the seagulls, because, you know, they feed off trash and the food that people feed them when they're at the beach. But I don't see any seagulls really around. I think they've kind of come more into town to get some food. But other than that, I mean, it's absolutely beautiful out there. I mean, it's sad to see the beach clear, especially during this time of spring break, but it's also awesome to go out there and see the beauty of it and it be undisturbed other than for an occasional lifeguard or police officer riding down, just checking and making sure no one's out there. But it just, the water seems clean. I mean, it's always been a clean beach, but it just seems more and more beautiful and more clean than it ever has been, in my opinion, since I've lived down here in Florida.
Wow. It's such a, like, good and bad thing that the world is, like, getting to heal itself a little bit and just take a little breather. But at the same time, like, once, you know, they lift those restrictions and then we come piling on again and then we're going to muck it all up all over
again. Absolutely. Well, but that's the thing. I'm hoping that this will cause sort of even the beginning part of a shift in maybe taking more responsibility?
You would hope.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I'm with Holly on that. I'm thinking, you know, people can see just a little bit of change. I mean, I know we've all had to make some sacrifices, but people can see with just a little bit of change how much of a difference you can make. You know, you're able to see the skyline in L.A. You're able to see the mountains in India, which those are just things I'm seeing on the news and things like that. And just see the true beauty. And this, if you take small steps to do your part to help, you know, and keeping the environment clean, and these little steps of just, you know, maybe not, you know, I know we all are addicted to cars, but not using your car so much at times, and getting on a bike and walking and doing things like that, and see the impact that it really has. So I'm hoping people take this also as a learning experience in many ways, from, you know, germs to the environment to all kinds of things. We're learning, we're all learning together at once. And I hope people do take it and realize that we can have clean beaches and we can have clean air and things like that if we just all do our part.
How are you doing personally?
I'm doing pretty good. Work keeps me busy, so that keeps me from being at home in my own mind. My partner is working from home, so if we both were working at home together, that might get a little rough, because when I come in, I always describe it, it's like when I walk in the door, he hasn't had any really social contact, so it's like a you know, an animal sitting in the corner like a
yes.
Jump on you when you walk in the door, they're like, human.
Yes. I know that life so well. I mean, that's been my normal life anyway, and it's almost gotten worse now. But when I walk in the door, and sometimes, you know, when you've been at work and you're a little bit exhausted or you're just looking to decompress in your home, you walk back in and those people that have been there are just like, hey, what are you doing? Hey, let me show you something. Did I see something? And my daughter literally jumped on me before I had even put my purse down yesterday.
Wow.
It's like, mama needs a break for 1 second. Just 1 second.
Yep. That's how my experience, man. Yeah. They're just by you and constantly just like, what's going on? And then they're kind of asking, like, what's the outside world like?
Right. What's it like out there?
What's it like on the interstates? And because I tell them about the interstates going back and forth between downtown Clearwater and downtown St. Pete, where I live. And it's like, I'm going, you know, sometimes a little over the speed limit. I'm not going to say how fast, but I'm having people fly by me like 100 miles an hour.
Whoa,
and it's just
good.
Like, there's no rules on the road anymore, anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it's just a crazy different world. But I'm doing pretty good. I luckily live in downtown St. Pete, so I'm able to walk everywhere, and I have a pool and stuff to keep myself sane. So I'm hanging in there and doing pretty good.
I'm so jealous of people at this time with pools.
Yes.
In their houses. I follow Jason on Instagram, and I see him, and I've commented frequently to say, oh, must be nice.
Okay, it is nice, but then those same people have to, like, pay for a pool.
Listen.
All the other times.
Yes, very true.
I would pay for it right now. I would so pay for a pool.
It's really not that bad, Holly. It's really not that expensive of what I've experienced so far. We've only lived in this house now for about 4 or 5 months. And so I'm happy because I was living in a small little apartment. And I'm glad, I mean, it's a beautiful apartment, but I'm glad I'm not stuck in that right now, that I was able to move into a house in the old Northeast neighborhood and have a pool. But it's good times. It just stinks sometimes. You got to, you know, turn your friends away and stuff because, you know, they all want to come over and party. But then you got to have the social distancing and no more than 6 or 10 people and, you know, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have one friend over here and there. We'll have our fun.
I have some friends that have a pool and they're always kind of like, our pool's missing everybody. And it's like, don't worry. We'll be there. Just give it a little bit. We'll be there. Well, Jason, thank you so much for giving us the update from Clearwater. I was just curious from a local standpoint, how Mother Nature was feeling after she hadn't had our feet in trash on her for a little bit. So thank you for keeping us updated.
Yeah, I think she's feeling pretty good. I mean, we rely on tourism, so we still want those people out there. But I think, like I mentioned earlier, I think people can learn something from this, and we all can do our part and keep it beautiful like this.
Absolutely. Well, Jason, Senior Public Information Coordinator, City of Clearwater, thank you so much for the update.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Enjoy that pool.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Have a good one.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I know. I see.
That'd be really nice.
And especially right now with all the people in our house, it would just be so nice to have like a little pool to go out to and just sit by and Just, and I don't even like the outside.
No, you don't like outdoors.
No, I would right now. It would just be nice just to have that anyway.
Sorry.
So cool. Well, I was just so curious about locally how it's been because I had to go to the post office in downtown St. Pete on Tuesday to send the marriage license off to the couple that I virtually married.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This past weekend. And it was just eerie in downtown St. Pete to not see anyone out.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's crazy.
And then, like, I saw two people sitting at a table, and it just looked so odd because there's, like, nobody else downtown.
Correct. People got to be in their houses.
Yeah. So it was just so interesting to see how the world looks right now. And I haven't been over the bridge over to Tampa in a couple of weeks, and I kind of just want to drive one day just to go, just to see what it looks like over there, too.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing else to do.
What's weird is that I find that I always expect there to be less traffic than there is, though.
Yes,
there's
exactly.
Still traffic. Yeah. Like, no. Especially during the traffic high points. Like, I was trying to go, I don't even know what I was doing. Oh, I had, like, a doctor appointment of sorts. And I went, and the traffic was like normal style traffic at that hour. It was like noon, 12:30. And I was like, dang. I mean, I'm on the road, but I figured less people would be. But in the mornings, have you noticed when you're coming to work, there's like nobody?
Oh, yeah. The other day I turned on the show. I was like, I literally had to look around. I was like, is there any lights around? Is anybody on the road? There was no one. Yeah. All the way forward, nobody behind me. I was like, this is weird.
I know. It's like, and keep in mind, when we're driving into work, there's not a whole lot of cars anyway, and it's dark. But it's even more eerie when you don't have those, like, two or three, like, pace cars near you. And I have been able to, like, go with no traffic light stopping me. I'm like,
wow,
this is odd.
Well, this morning I went to Wawa. I've been really trying to stay out of stores or anything because it said this week was supposed to be, like, the worst week. And so I haven't been to the grocery store. I haven't been to – I have a prescription I need to pick up in a couple of days that I've been like, eh. But this morning I was like, I need something to eat. So I went to Wawa. And I thought it was closed at first because usually when I go, even though it's like super, super early, but there always tends to be at least five or six people in the
bustling store.
Yeah. Nobody there this morning. It was like three workers and that was it. And then like the whole time when I ordered my little breakfast sandwich, got my water, paid for it, stood over there, wait, nobody came in. It's just, this is such a different interesting time. It's so fascinating. And I wish that there was a better word to use other than interesting.
Yeah.
But that's just what it is right now. It's just so curious to see our world in this sort of different light right now.
Absolutely.
And under any other circumstances, we wouldn't see it.
No. And it's cool because you wouldn't get to see it. And I don't love the conditions that it's under.
No.
But it's cool if you have a kid too, like, what my daughter's experiencing. And I just shared something, and I didn't get to watch the whole video. I only saw a little bit, and I read her post. But there's an author that I really love, Glennon Doyle, who shares, like, her family meetings. She has, like, little family meetings. She is married to Abby Wambach of the soccer team.
Oh!
it's an interesting story the two of them have, by the way, because Glennon was married to a man for a very long time, and her first book was about the fact that her marriage was, like, great, and then her second book was, like, my husband's been cheating on me this whole time.
Oh.
And then it's, like, she went through this whole tumultuous thing, and she used to struggle with an eating disorder and all this, and then after a couple years went by, she, like, stepped out with Abby, and everyone's like, wait, so what now?
How?
Who? And her entire life story is fascinating, and she's such a great emotive speaker and writer and all this. So I follow her on Instagram, and she's always got motivational stuff. But today's, let me just find it, because today's little family meeting that she posted, I reposted it on my story because I loved it so much. Basically, she said that these are the, I'm going to find it. Hold on now. No, just give me a second. I wasn't looking.
That's fine.
Glenn and Doyle. There it is.
No.
Oh. So she said, let them have their pain. It's theirs. And about this time of pain in our kids, it's real. She said, kids are learning the truth that we've been trying to hide from them, which is that ain't nobody in control down here. And nobody can really protect them. I love that. She said, this experience will change and shape this generation. And I don't think that's all bad. They are being called early to make sacrifices for the greater good. They are learning early that they are part of something larger than themselves, that their small act of staying inside their homes makes a difference to the larger world. It's a lesson in interconnectedness and individual power. they will learn that they matter and that we belong to each other and that sometimes in a divisive world, we are called to come together and sacrifice for each other, and that's what makes us great. So talk to them like that. Show them the doctors and nurses and the children who miss them. Show them the love stories of neighbors showing up for each other. Show them why this world is worth saving and how we are a part of saving it. Maybe we will end up being a mighty, connected, honorable generation, not despite of this time, but because of it. We can do hard things, like allow pain to work its magic on us, on our children, on our friends, on the world.
Wow.
Whoa. I just really love that. Like, that's goosebumps as I was reading it again, because that's now the third time that I've looked it through. But I love that so much because it is weird to see the world like this. And it's weird, you know, the people that are like, oh, but we can't do the things we normally do with our kids. No, you can't. And maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, again, and I hate almost, it's like a double-edged sword talking about some of the good things that will come from this. Because I also, on the flip side, understand how much suffering is happening right now.
Yeah.
The joblessness, you know, the people being laid off and people worrying about money and people who are sick and people who are dying and people who have dealt with all this. Like, there is nothing but bad news when you look at it that way. But when you look at it from any other aspect, you try to be a little positive, you can find some good things here.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like this, and I think it was like towards the end of the message that you just read, where it like is teaching us that sometimes you have to go through something painful in order to come out with lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And this, to me, is the perfect world example of how life isn't just easy.
No.
You're not supposed to just skate through.
And you're not supposed to be happy all the time.
Right. You have to learn how to manage the stress, how to manage the frustration, the helplessness, you're not in control, like it said. We are not in control. And this is a perfect example of how you have to deal with it. Because I feel like a lot of people are feeling very lost because they're like, well, I don't know. Like, how do I move forward? And it's like, all you can do is the best that you can do right now in this moment.
Yeah, and you're learning how to move forward.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's all you can do. The only way out of terrible situations is through.
Yeah.
You're not going to get around it, especially this. You're not going to put it off and deal with it later.
Yeah, can't do that.
It's forcing us to go through the shitstorm right now.
Yeah.
And if for people, I think it's probably the worst for people who haven't really had a lot of struggle in their lives.
I was just thinking that. Like the people that I've talked to in my life, or even listeners that some of you in the Miguel and Holly fam, by the way, Platypus.
Oh.
We had a Platypus call in this morning.
Yes, we did.
First caller of the show. And she said it. We were on the air and was like, Platypus. And I was like, what? No. That's just for us on the podcast.
Yeah, but she was so excited.
She was. By the way, I was thinking I want to get and commission some sort of Miguel and Holly Uncensored Platypus logo made, where we can have it on like stickers or something, like gear merch, because Doe Eyes mentioned it on Twitter the other day.
You know who's going to do that for us?
Who?
Former producer Ryan.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
True.
Hit him up.
Hey.
Yeah.
So that's anyway. True. I need to commission that.
That's all I had.
And now I totally forgot what I was saying.
Going through pain.
Yes. But like the people that have, and I say this knowing plenty of people in my life that haven't struggled, that haven't gone through anything tough, and it's in no way a slight to you. It's in no way downgrading your situation or making you feel worse than what you are feeling right now.
Right.
But it's sort of like welcome to the shit show that is life.
Yeah.
Because I always feel like, at least for me in my life, I always say that like if something can go wrong, it's going to go wrong. That's always been my life. Nothing has ever just come to me easily. Nothing. Not one damn thing. My mom always has this, I think it's funny she says it because it's like, because she doesn't know the day to day, but she's always like, anything that you say that you want, you always get. And I'm like, yes. But when I say it and then when it happens, there's a whole lot of struggle that happens in between there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with it. I've leaned into it and it makes me who I am. And that's sort of like what I sometimes when I'm like working out and I'm like in a really just sort of like tough place and I'm trying to like keep going. I'm like, remember that time when you had absolutely no money and you somehow figured out how to get $10 for gas money to go to that job? Bitch, you figured it out. If you can do that, you can go through a minute worth of burpees.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And you know what? The success wouldn't be as sweet if you hadn't had to fight for it.
Right.
You know.
That is so
true. Put the hard work
true.
In and... again, and that's the thing, though. I don't mean to slam people that have, you know, been given a leg up, because that's awesome. That's what, you know, the struggled people are trying to do for their kids.
Right.
Make it so that they don't have to have that struggle. But there's something to be said about struggle. It's not that, it's not that you don't deserve what you got. It's just that I think you appreciate it a little more if you had to struggle hard to get it.
Oh, girl, there are times that I walk into my house, I get in my car, that I just literally close my eyes and I'm like, I could not have imagined how great my life would be now.
Mm.
And even as sometimes it's like the worst days where I'm tired or whatever, but like when I get in my car or I think about how I can go... I bought a picture frame the other day from the website I love, FrameBridge, and it was like $50. And I did it, and then I press submit my payment. And then I thought to myself, just for a second, I got emotional. Like, after I fucking paid $50 for a frame, I got emotional. This is the time we're living in. Like, everything is put into perspective. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I didn't have to, like, look at my checking account to see if I could afford it.
Yeah.
And I just thought... I'm just so grateful to the universe for allowing that to happen, because for so much of my life, everything was like, all right, well, let's just see. We can't. Oh, well, that's totally out of our reach. It's never going to happen. And now, because of hard work and getting here, I have the opportunity to be able to do those things. And I'm just so grateful for that. And as I press submit on the payment, and I was like,
yeah,
I couldn't even afford lunch a few years ago. My God.
Yeah.
So it was just a really cool moment. I talked to one of my friends yesterday who just lost his job. Mm. And he was like a regional manager for a retail place.
Mm.
And my heart just goes out to you if you're listening and you've lost your job and you totally did not see this coming 3 to 4 weeks ago. Because a lot of times when you lose your job, you kind of know, like you have a feeling that like something is about to happen. But like right now, it's just like smacking people in the face. And it's just so sad.
It is. And it there's nothing to be done, because it's not anyone's fault even. I mean, this is not a normal society where it's like, maybe there were budget cuts, mm-hmm. or maybe you weren't doing your best or whatever. This is just completely, and it's out of employers' control.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So.
Because their money's just all of a sudden you look at, here's how much payroll is, here's how much money's coming in. Oh, wait, there's no money coming in because we're shut down.
We have nothing to pay you with.
So we can't.
You want to get paid in sheep? I mean, like what? They got nothing.
Chickens, possibly?
Maybe chicken. Maybe oxen.
Oh, so good old oxen. Some oxtail.
Okay.
Real quick, I want to switch up the gears real quick.
Tiger, now I understand.
I love that song.
I saw Tiger, Tiger saw man.
We haven't had a chance to talk about this. So behind the scenes for like this show, we are on, and I feel like, when did Microsoft Teams start? Because I feel like I'm seeing Microsoft Teams everywhere.
I feel like Microsoft kind of maybe has been around for a while with Teams, but nobody has really adapted it until we all had to get on the same page because so many of people were working at home.
Yeah.
Because just we were on something called Slack
mm-hmm.
as a group. And I know some other people were on some other different thing. Like maybe you had an Outlook. That is Microsoft,
yeah.
or whatever else it is. But suddenly when everybody needed to all get on one page, because you can't have one group on Slack and one group on Zoom and one group, whatever, Microsoft was like, hey,
we here.
Y'all already got Outlook, so.
Upgrade.
And they have secure software, unlike Zoom, where people getting hacked and, you know, security. So I feel like it's almost the only option. Microsoft probably
they're
coming out on top.
Showing up with their penis on what? The camera.
Yeah. Oh,
no. Have you seen that? Where like
no, I didn't see.
Girl. You didn't see the penis?
I was like, first of all, what are you talking about? Second of all, no.
No, there. I think it was a classroom, a teacher.
Horrible.
Did you see? There was a news article where, and I don't remember because I think I just read the headline. I didn't read the whole story. Oh. But what I inferred was like it was a classroom with all the participants on Zoom, and a hacker came in and basically showed porn, and that's what everybody saw on their screen, and it was like. Really, bitch? Like, why? Why?
That's my big... For stuff like that, for what purpose? Because you can?
Right. Like, you know you can do it, so why? Like, use your power for good.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't...
Yeah, well,
that
sucks sometimes.
I don't get...
That just makes me so angry. But anyway, about Tiger King. So, the whole point of Microsoft Teams is that, behind the scenes, we write notes to each other throughout the day about our lives, and then that's sort of how we come up with topics on the show. Mm-hmm. And one of the topics that I just keep falling down the list, haven't had a chance to get to this week, and I don't know if we will, but I want to talk about it, is, Scott, you have been frustrated with your girlfriend, Mary, over Tiger King.
Yes, because my girlfriend, Mary, she is, like, the biggest cat lover. Like, her heart is just so big for cats, and it's awesome. It's so cute. But the problem here is, if you go on social media and you haven't seen the show Tiger King, it's like no other show I think that's ever popped up because people are like either blaming Carol Baskin for her. There's just a lot of drama. And I think it takes away from the bigger picture of like, hey, people that have these big cats and that are not doing the right things with animals, that's bad.
Yeah.
But my girlfriend, she sees a lot of the headlines and she hasn't seen the show. And so she just thinks the show is just utter BS. And like, the other day, we were talking on the phone, and, like, she was, like, crying for the tigers and just felt so bad. I'm like, it's hard for me because I've kept going back and forth with her. I'm like, you have to watch the show to understand. Like, it's not saying that, oh, let's treat these animals like crap or, yeah, Big Cat Rescue is the worst. It's like, no, you have to watch the show to understand that it's like, honestly, Big Cat Rescue, not really that big in the picture of the whole grand scheme of thing. The real focus is on the owner. Mm-hmm. It's not even about the cats for them. Like, whatever they're doing, it's probably pretty good. It's more so about the other people that have these cats just to, like, make money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to explain that to her, but she's like, this show's just so stupid. And I'm like...
But did she watch it?
No. And that's where it's hard, because I'm like, look, I know why you're so frustrated, because you're seeing everyone else's point of view on it, and it's making you not want to watch it. I wish... Before anybody said anything, you just watched it.
Yeah.
Because even now, like, and this is why it's like, I almost don't want her to watch it at this point because she already has a made up bias in her head of like how this show is. And it is stupid. Like, the show is dumb because they're the people in there are dumb. And so she's going to go
entertaining.
In there. Exactly. But it's more so she's already grabbed her side on where she stands with the show.
Yeah, she's already made her stand.
And so it's like, she's going to watch it and it's only going to feed that side. She's going to be like, this is stupid and these people suck. And so we've gotten into a couple little like back and forth because she thinks one thing and I'm like, wait, no, it's not fully like that. I know, yes, you're seeing a lot of loud voices on social media because yes, people are going to pick a side and be dramatic with it. But the show in itself is actually, in a grand scheme, doing kind of good to point out that these people should probably not have big cats.
And do you have a thing right now you're going to play?
Yeah.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol at Big Cat Rescue.
Sorry, I just wanted to hear.
That's fine. One of our M&H fan members, Mandy Marie, on Facebook actually had a similar thing to what your girlfriend Mary is going through.
Mm-hmm.
I saw yesterday she posted, unpopular opinion. I have not watched it. I really refuse at this point, but I heard that Carol Baskin met the husband that she supposedly killed when she was 19 and he was 40. Sounds like a dynamic of serious power and control. A 40-year-old dude has nothing in common with a 19-year-old other than to control her or that's his daughter. Also, I heard there is abuse of animals, angry face. Sounds like Jerry Springer, who I also think is gross. I don't get the hype. And I get it. And so she's also a big advocate for abusive relationships like that. So and all these people are like, just you have to watch. And like then people are putting memes up and she's like, not helping. So I decided to step in because I was like, she's asking for a legit
right
take. And so I said, oh.
Wait, can you imagine if you've never seen Tiger King and people are posting all these dumb memes where it's like, Carol beeping Baskin.
Yeah. So I said, oh, it's a mess. They all have trauma, because I knew she could connect with that because she's a counselor in that realm. I said, they all have trauma. As someone going through their own shit show, I think it's the human condition to find it interesting how other people live who are extremely different than you. She, meaning Carol Baskin, she has a harrowing backstory and was absolutely involved in prostitution on Nebraska Avenue when she met that husband. He was a womanizer looking for sex, and he took advantage of her, but then she turned her pain into profit and security through him until he was done with her, and that's why everyone thinks she had a hand in his disappearance. He was going to leave and take everything, so she couldn't let that happen. So then he disappeared, and she was left somehow with everything, with a newly rewritten will that excluded his former wife and daughters. She kept the zoo. It was a power move, and then they had to squash everyone else who would get in the way of her safety and security. So much trauma. Every other person on the show has it, too. I just find it absolutely fascinating as someone who digs to know why people do what they do. And she said, the original poster said, okay. Now this makes it more understandable for my brain to comprehend. Why could nobody just say that? I'm like, girl, I am paid to communicate. I got it.
Well, and most people would read what you wrote and be like, huh?
I know, but I knew she would get it.
Right, because she could connect with that, and it makes sense.
She connected with it.
Absolutely.
But see, and that's why, and I feel like for people who are like, I don't get it, and if you can kind of understand it from that point of view, then you can get it a little bit more as to why so many, I think people don't even know why they're captivated. But it's like you're looking into other people's lives and you're like, wait, I didn't even know people lived like this.
Yeah, yeah.
This is real? I think that was what most people were like, wait, this is real life somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Not just somewhere, multiple locations. And you're just blown away thinking, okay, I got my 9 to 5, you know, I go to Publix, get some dinner, call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, this, like, there's just all
he
this
got
going
two
on.
Husbands.
He got two husbands. The other guy's got 8 wives. She's got 3 husbands. One of them disappeared. Like, it's a lot to take in. But that's why people are fascinated.
I would love to sort of do, like, a topic about who's living, like, the craziest, like, Joe Exotic life. Because I feel like you're right, Holly. Like, most people have a normal... You go to work, you come home, you go to work, you come home. Yeah, you maybe go to the beach. Like, that's the spicy part. You have Mexican night, and that's, like, the spicy part of the week.
Taco Tuesday.
Right. Like, but who's living that, like, I should be a reality show on Netflix?
And my bigger question is, do they know it?
I guess if you grew up in it and you don't know any better, yes. But if you happen, like those girls with, what's his name, Doc
Antle.
Oh,
yeah, who like were just girls who went to college, loved learning about animals, ended up there. And then she's like, all of a sudden, my name has changed. I got fake boobs and I'm like working for nothing. Like,
it's
how
like
did my life?
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. He's like a ringmaster of a cult.
Yeah. So I would be really curious. We should do that topic one day of who's living the most Joe Exotic life to where... Maybe us hearing us talk about it, you're like, ooh, yeah, that is my life.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're just realizing it. Or maybe you watch the show and you're like, well, y'all can't beat this shit that I just went through.
Right. Well, I think that Mandy Marie, and I would never tell her story, she has a crazy backstory, which is why she got into the line of work she does. Because her backstory, and again, I don't want to speak out of turn. I don't know how public she is with it. But she comes from, I believe, like some type of religious cult.
I remember her telling me about it one of the times that we met her about.
Right.
Well, yeah, I don't want to give too much, but I remember just my mouth being on the floor when she told me about the stuff that she had gone through.
Which is why I knew she'd understand the premise once I kind of gave her the backstory of why people, I think, really like the show.
Oof.
So maybe she'd want to come on. I don't know.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Scott, do you think if Holly told that description or you copy and pasted what Holly wrote, and sent that to Mary, your girlfriend, do you think she'd be more likely to watch it?
Yeah, but also maybe not. Like, that's the one thing. Like, she's very strong-minded where it's like, her decision's made. It's going to be very hard. And that's why, like, I have a very hard time trying to, like, describe things and, like, explain it. Because then I just get exhausted, especially over text and over the phone. Because then I'm just like, oh, just like. nothing's breaking through, then I'm like, all right, screw it. If we're in person, maybe, maybe. But at the same time, like, it's more so, I think, for her, like, the whole premise is just overhead. She's just pissed off about the cats. Like, she's just mad that it's, like, these people, like, are treating animals like crap, and it's, like, that's where her mind is focused. And I get that. So it just, I don't know if that would ever be able to change. Not at this point. Not after seeing everybody's headlines, everyone's thoughts about it, and then all the hate that's already on social media. Because that's the one thing she, like, talked to me about. She's like, I went on Big Cat Rescue's Instagram, and it's like, have you seen it? How much hate is happening?
Oh, really?
Like, no. Oh, yeah, I guess. I haven't looked. And then, what she focused on, and I found this, and I guess maybe not even interesting, but just it makes sense for her. But she's like, I just feel bad for the cats. Like, one, she understands that what Big Cat Rescue is doing is, like, when they rescue these cats from, like, the circus, that it's, like, that's helping. Because she was like, well, what are we going to do, let them out in Tampa? I'm like, no. But I'm like, you got to, like, okay, take them out of the picture. Like, let's focus on, like, the one that was over in wherever it is. It's right by Texas, Joe Exotic's one. Mm-hmm. The one in South Carolina. Like, those ones are not good.
Right.
Like, that's why, like, for me, that's what I took away. I was like, whoa, this is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I get why people want to stop this. And it's good. Like, I wouldn't want to go there now knowing that it's like, wait a second. These big cats are literally, like, bred to make money so people can pet them.
And absolutely.
Then people will, like, literally, like, just chuck them after they're done with the cub.
Right.
That's the effed up part about it. So,
well, that's why people were mad in the document. And, I mean, I don't think anyone's watching the documentary being like, well, who gives an F about these big cats?
Yeah.
I think the overall context of it is it's just sad for these animals.
Yes.
And in the end, this is what I took away. I don't want to, like, speak out of turn, but it's like every single person was utilizing these cats for their own financial and whatever else gain.
Mm.
And all of them, including Carol Baskin, who that's why she was like the winner in the end, quote unquote, because she was smart enough to pivot early on and do and, like, you know, go under the name of, well, I'm protecting the cat.
Yeah.
She was doing the same thing, though, like,
right,
back in the day. And then she was like, wait a minute, here's how we're going to win. Because she's very smart.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And you know who's probably even smarter is old what's-his-face Doc Antle was smart because he didn't get involved in the pettiness.
Right.
But then he was doing it, too.
He has an elephant, for God's sake.
I know. Ugh. Like, that's what I'm saying. So it's like these people exist. This documentary is shining a light on it, and hopefully good comes from it, and there are, like, actual animal activists who can, you know, come forward and help. And Big Cat Rescue has, you know, done a lot of good for some of that, like you said, from, like, circus tigers or whatever. So there is some good that's come from it, and I think ultimately more awareness is a good thing.
No, I agree completely, and that's what I was explaining. Like, to be such a mass appeal, like, you have to bring this and it is, it's an actual story, like, this crazy story to light, because that caused everyone to watch it. If you just put out a documentary that was like, oh, big cats are not treated right, like, you're going to get a handful of people that are going to watch it and that are going to be very passionate, but the rest of the population is not going to give a damn because there's already documentaries out there like that now.
That's
that
true.
Can pinpoint it. But you brought a story, a compelling story to the page, and now everyone's on board with, like, oh, this is an actual problem. So, I mean, I thought it was great, and I see, you know, the good behind it, behind all the drama.
But like you said, she made up her mind.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she's going to end up watching unless it was like, hey, like, sit down, like, let's watch this so we could just get through it. But I think it's too late at this point.
Dang.
I know.
I just want everybody to experience it.
Because I know,
it's just,
I agree.
It's so.
I guess it's not for everyone.
No, it's true. That is very true.
I mean, it's for most people, though, because I read today that it's like, God, what was it?
It surpassed.
It's like
Stranger Things.
Yes,
and
it's like
views.
The number one most highly somethinged on Netflix. Like, it's breaking all kinds of records. And I don't think that I think that the pandemic has had something to do with it.
Yes. Yeah, because there's
overall,
nothing to do.
What a train wreck.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Well, there we go. Another Corncast in the books.
Corncast.
Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and then Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Scat.
At Scott Tavlin, SCOTTTAVLIN on Insta, TikTok, and Twitter.
Miguel Fuller for me. You can find me on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere. MIGUELFULLER. And remember, we want to talk to you if you have been displaced because of COVID-19 and you're looking for some employment.
come on with us so we can talk about it. And maybe somebody that's hiring right now or after all this is over with and be like, hey, I got something for you.
Yeah.
And we also want to be able to give out your Cash App or your Venmo. So shoot me an email. Just say, hey, Miguel, I want to be on the podcast and be featured. Miguel, M-I-G-U-E-L-F-U-L-L-E. Sorry, just Miguel at hot1015tampabay.com. I was thinking about my social media.
I think we're tired.
I am. Like, I felt midway through, I was like, oh, I just hit the power down button.
Yeah.
I'm done. Yeah, I'm done. But yeah, so email me and we will get you on the podcast. You can give out your Cash App. And tomorrow, Holly, we're talking with your new doctor.
Yeah. I haven't heard back from him, but I don't think it's going to be a problem. Because when I saw him this week, we talked about it and he said, this time of day is usually a good one.
Oh, good.
Him. So I haven't heard back, but I am hoping to.
All right. So if you're going through some rough times, I think tomorrow we're going to have something real
cool. Oh, no. I'm sorry. He just did. He said, unfortunately, I have something scheduled at that time tomorrow.
Oh, no.
What? He said 10 a.m. is usually a good time for me, like he said. So just let me know another day and I'll block it out on my calendar.
Okay. So if you're going through a tough time, hold fast.
Hold fast.
And then maybe Monday or Tuesday, we can get your doctor on to talk about these really cool services that they're doing right now to help out people in need.
We'll try for Monday.
All right. And make sure to listen on the Hot 101.5 app, or if you're listening on iTunes, leave a review, please. And a rating, and make sure to subscribe. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye, y'all. Okay, bye.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, quarantine edition from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol at Big Cat Rescue.